Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus is here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn. I am in the studio with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey,
hi, guys.
That is so fun
I
to
know.
Be with you both.
We are having
here
a
we
good
are.
Day.
We're third time we've been together. And woohoo,
third time's a charm.
Yep.
It's going to be a good show.
It is indeed. We have, we've got an action-packed show. And we want to take your calls and talk about what's going on in your life. And so we're just going to jump right in and do that. So we're going to go to Heidi, who's in Richmond, California, listens on KFAX. Hi, Heidi, you still there?
I am.
All right, good. Good. What can
good
we do
morning.
For you?
Good morning.
Good morning. I am calling actually to say thank you. Sorry. Tears.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, it's okay.
I am the wife of a man who's gone to EMB twice and continues to choose recovery in only the portions that are visible to the external world and not the internal work that needs to be done.
Oh.
But I am thankful because of your ministry, because of Jason's ministries, because of New Life TV. I am surviving, and I am thriving. And even though my tears are showing up right now, I've learned so much. And I've found my voice and am able to recognize lies, recognize manipulations, and take a stand to say, here's my boundary, here's what I need to do to protect myself, and to act on that.
That a girl.
And that has given me my life back.
Wow.
And I really owe it to really every man's battle showed me what recovery should look like. And just finding support, watching TV, you know, your TV videos, just helped reassure me at the many times that I've questioned, am I doing the right thing? And I'm just so grateful that I had those resources to learn to stand strong.
Wow.
So thank you. Thank you to each of you, but especially Jason. I just want to say thank you.
Aww.
It's weird to say you're welcome. I don't know how to respond to that.
Don't you want to meet with his husband and say, what a knucklehead.
No,
you have an amazing bride. Come on. You know, it's heartbreaking because we do see some of the guys, and you said it really well, Heidi, that his recovery is external, but it just, for whatever reason, he's not let it go deeper than that.
Right. He's a crowd pleaser.
And it's heartbreaking.
The external is, he's got to look like the good guy.
He's got to look like the good guy, but then that's where it stops.
And that's even shame. I hate
it's
shame.
Totally shame.
I know.
I hate shame because even he's so shame resistant that if he were to own the bad part of what he's done, shame makes him think that he would be all bad, bad person, like bad to the core, instead of I've done something wrong. And so even hearing this, we grieve with you, Heidi. We grieve because we see that he is not getting honest.
Only doing what he can tolerate.
Heidi,
I appreciate your call, first of all. Thank you so much for your kind words. I have a question for you. When we come back from this break, and you can be thinking about this, what would you say to a wife who's in your shoes, senses the inside is not happening, but the outside is? We'll be back.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. We want to talk to you about our Intimacy Intensive for Marriages.
The Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 17th to the 19th.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together. We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy levels of their life.
One of the things that we're going to do in this weekend is address the issues of sexuality, emotional intimacy, physical touch, things that the church traditionally does not address. We're going to be a place where you can come and really bring the real you, your real marriage, and it can be a very safe place.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
You come join us. We would love to have you there. I think we can meet some needs for you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn, in studio with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Keffer, taking your calls, talking about your life. And we're on with Heidi. Heidi, before we went to break, I was asking, what would you say to a wife who senses, you know, it's not the deep change that I need to see? What would you say to her if she's listening?
I would say to continue using your voice to say that you see that. Mm-hmm. To do what you can to make it safe. But at the same time, over and over, I have had to ask myself, instead of feeling like a victim, what do I have control over?
Mm.
And so often, I've had to look at a situation that was painful and hold on to what I could control. And my responses to his recovery, I can't make him do anything.
Right.
I've learned that over and over.
Yeah.
But there are things I can do to help my recovery.
Yeah.
And that sounds really selfish. But I just had to leave him with God.
Wow.
It sounds healthy.
Like, yeah, it sounds wise.
It sounds healthy. Mm-hmm. It's not selfish.
No.
It's not selfish. It's really you saying, what part of myself can I hold on to so I'm not annihilated
totally.
In all of this?
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. Heidi, thank you so much for your call. We hate that he has opted to go this route, but we are also thankful, grateful, and proud of the route that you've chosen to go. So thank you so much for calling.
Again, thank you guys for your ministry.
Okay. Bye-bye, Heidi. You know, the other thing that I take away from what Heidi's saying, and you can tell, she's done work. She's not being flippant or reckless, right?
No.
She's done work to land at this place. This was no easy decision.
Yeah.
The thing I love about what Heidi just shared is, like, she's raising the bar.
Mm-hmm.
She is not willing to settle for a husband who doesn't do his whole recovery. She's not willing to settle.
Who's only done it halfway.
Who's only done it halfway, right? I just love that. So if your wife listening, man, keep raising the bar. It's the best. One of the best things that Shelley ever did for me was not settle for me to be mediocre in what God was calling me to.
Right? And you know what's interesting, Jason? And I don't know that this is the last story for this gentleman, because what happens when women like Heidi keep asking and they don't get what they long for, they grieve. She's grieving and grieving and grieving. Mm-hmm. Now, if she decides to step out of this marriage, guess who's going to start grieving? He will.
Is.
He
right.
hasn't started grieving yet. He
right.
hasn't. It really hasn't. The bottom hasn't fallen out.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe if that day comes, he might actually wake up, because the good guy won't feel good. To the core.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
and
there
so
is
we've seen that happen where
right.
we've got callers that call in and go, oh, man, my wife left and I am just in the pit. You know, and then, okay,
it
now
finally
you're ready
hits
to
them.
Have
yeah.
Now you're not going to do it halfway anymore.
We hear those stories that 4, 5, 6 years later, there's remarriage.
Yeah.
That marriage comes back together when change and healing has happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Jason, I'd like to say something about this, too. The thing that I like about it is we really speak about all the wonderful results we get at all of our workshops all the time. But it's a reality check that those results are dependent upon somebody getting it and taking the steps and doing something.
Yes.
And so we don't guarantee 100% turnaround for every person that comes.
Mm-hmm. We can't.
But we
wouldn't even believe us if we did.
Yeah, right. But we guarantee that what they're going to hear is what it takes for someone to achieve that if they'll take the steps.
And Heidi said as much. She saw what recovery looked like.
Yeah.
And you know, you say this every month at Every Man's Battle. A lot of guys show up and they're going to get something that they had no idea they needed.
Right.
They're going to get something other than what they thought they were coming for.
That's absolutely true.
That's where change happens.
Yeah.
You hear Larry's voice because Larry's in studio for a few minutes to talk a little bit about money. And we should cue the Pink Floyd at this point. Okay, Terry, our producer
you
is
got Terry broken up.
He doesn't seem to be on board with that. All right, so
Larry. Oh my goodness! Before I talk about money, I want to talk about our Footsteps of Paul trip. We're doing a great trip. I haven't been there yet, but I know it's going to be great because our trips just work out that way. God has blessed us with some fabulous trips in the past. And this one is going to Athens, and then we're going to go, I don't know what order, so don't quote me on this, but we're going to see Philippi, Corinth, Thessalonica, Ephesus. We're going to see Patmos, where John wrote Revelation, where he was, put on the island. And it's amazing the way you feel when you are where these biblical characters of thousands of years ago were.
The Holy Land trip changed the way I read the Bible. You know, you read these words and you think of Paul and you wonder what it really looked like. But once you're there, Larry, the whole Bible comes alive.
I always say it goes from black and white to technicolor.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
It's amazing. So if you sign up before the end of this month, which is right about now.
Today
is the 31st? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if you sign up today, call Georgia and sign her up. Go online to newlife.com and click on the cruise. The Footsteps of Paul trip. And you can call and get registered. You'll save $100 per person. And just don't want you to miss it. Dave Stoop, Milan Yurkovich, Steve Arterburn will speak in the evenings to us. And we're going to have a good time. It is always fun. It's always learning. It's connecting. And we just want to encourage you to go.
And the dates of the trip, Larry?
October 18th to the 27th.
Okay.
Thank you for asking that. Now about money. We've had a matching gift. We're trying to wrap it up here by month end. A gentleman who made a gift a year ago, he made a gift when somebody else challenged the match. And this year, he stepped forward with $20,000 and said, I want to be the one making the challenge. And I love that. We didn't ask him to. He just called in and said, or wrote in and said that he wanted to do that. So if you make a gift, you can help us wrap this up. We need gifts of all sizes. No matter what you give, it will be doubled. And we don't get to use that $20,000 until it is matched. So every $5, $10, $50, $100,000 you give will allow us to release that much from the match and use it till we reach the $20,000.
So if they sign up for the trip today, the $100 that they can save, they can actually reinvest in new life and make
Sherry,
it
$200. I love the way you think.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
I love these double inners, right? It's
And I do want to go back to the money talk about the money one more thing. The money is important because it allows us to do what we do. This radio program, the workshops, maintaining our counselor network, it means life redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It means changing lives, getting people to see things they never saw before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, you want to see where the money goes. Come sit in on a workshop on Sunday morning.
Yeah, amen.
Right. Listen to the stories on Sunday morning, and you'll know what your investment is going towards.
We had a guy at the Living Light workshop just recently, and he got up, and it was interesting. Women got up and gave their their closing thoughts about the weekend, and then Steve says, "I want to hear from a guy," And, you know, long pause. And finally, a guy gets up, walks up, and he said, well, it started at the intimacy workshop. And that helped us so much with getting our intimacy back because our marriage was struggling. And he points to his belly and says, I knew I needed this. I got to come and deal with this, too, because I want to live longer than I might have otherwise. And he said, today, because of the counselor, it was Bob Sklar, Jason.
Of course.
And he said, because of my counselor, I've grown closer to God today.
Wow. Oh, wow.
This weekend.
That is so amazing. I just thought,
what's better than that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool. I'm taking too much time. Thank you. Back to the calls.
Thanks, Larry. All right. Let's jump back in. So we're going to talk to Jennifer, calling from Dallas, Texas, listens on KWRD. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. I guess I'm trying to figure out if my husband's behavior, I just don't know how to read it, I guess, because lately he's been lying, he's been creating conflict between me and our kids, and when we go to our couples group during the week at church, you know, he acts like the perfect husband and, you know, says, this is my lovely wife, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not really, and then, earlier I'm a stay-at-home mom, and he would stand at the end of our kitchen, and I didn't even know what gaslighting was, but that's what he was doing. And he would say that I was so, I guess, heavenly minded, I was no earthly good.
Oh my, no, he did not.
And, I thought years ago that he was having an affair with my best friend, and he told me that I can't prove a negative.
Wow.
Wow.
All right.
I don't know. I'm like, and I tried to talk to somebody years ago about this, and she kind of like shamed me because she's like, my husband would never do that to me. So I was afraid to talk to anybody.
Sure. Oh my goodness.
So he has lots of people fooled.
When you said at the beginning he's been lying, what has he been lying about most recently?
Most recently, well, he told our kids that I wanted a divorce, and so he was taking me away for the weekend because I wanted a divorce, you know, and he thought that we needed to, I guess, set things right or something.
Okay.
So that's a felony.
That's
you don't tell your kids you're wanting a divorce.
When it's not true.
That's wrong in the emotional world.
Well, see, he told me that he actually said that he was, he told them that he was trying to prevent us from getting a divorce. Yeah. But our kids are not dumb. They're in high school and college, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does he lie about money?
Quite honestly, I don't necessarily know anymore, I guess, because I've kind of put my head in the sand because I'm afraid that he is.
Okay.
Because his, he's looked at me in the eyes and said, okay, I'm going to go to such and such. And then I call there, you know, just because I have a question. And they're like, oh, he hasn't been here all day.
Right. That was my next question. Does he lie about his whereabouts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then just one other practical question. You said you're a stay-at-home mom. Have you worked outside the home before this?
Yeah, I used to. It's just that when we had our kids, I decided that they were more important than me working.
Okay.
You know? And I know maybe that was dumb, but I have a tendency to, I guess, get too involved in my work and make it that my focus. And I didn't know how I was going to be able to balance it very well.
Okay. And so in your most recent conversation with him where you've said, I feel crazy, this feels crazy, something isn't right, his response to that is what?
It's just that we're, I guess, miscommunicating.
So again, he puts it kind of on you.
Right, he volleys back to you.
Yeah, he kind of, this is everything that I say. You know,
mm-hmm.
I guess doesn't I don't count, or my opinion doesn't count.
And then one last quick question, practically speaking, was this something that shifted? Like it used to be different and then it shifted, or is this as kind of as long as you've been together?
I guess maybe I noticed some things in the beginning and I just kind of either ignored them or didn't want to believe. You know what I'm saying?
Because
mm-hmm. you want to believe that you have the marriage that you've always wanted.
Yeah.
kind of yeah. thing. But then when I thought that he was having an affair with my friend, it's kind of like, because I saw her, because they worked together, and I saw her, and instead of her being excited to see me when I showed up, she was like, what are you doing here?
That didn't feel good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so what do you think, so really? Yeah. What do you really think's going on, Jennifer? What do you really think? If you weren't worried about him listening right now, what would you say?
I just don't know if I need to, like, I don't know if I need to divorce him or...
But that's not what I asked you. That's not what... No, hold on. That's not what I asked you. I asked you, what do you think has happened? I want you to trust your gut for just a second. What do you think's going on?
I think he's probably a serial cheater.
Okay.
Okay, so Jennifer, hold that thought. Stay right there. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn, in studio with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Keffer, and we are talking with Jennifer in Dallas, who just said that she believes, in her heart of hearts, what her gut says is, this is more than a one-off deal. There's a problem. It lies deeper than what's on the surface. And so, one of y'all want to jump in on your thoughts?
Yeah, Jennifer, I'm really glad that you were able to say that out loud when Sherry asked you. You know, we're hearing you talk of just how off balance your husband has been keeping you and, you know, throwing things in the way to keep you confused and doubting yourself. And yet, you know, sometimes you don't need to have hard, cold facts, because even if you did, he'd find a way to deny them.
Yes.
But in your heart of heart, something isn't right. And it seems like he's a serial adulterer. Thank you. And how does it feel to hear that? To hear yourself say that? To hear us say that?
I guess devastating, because I guess you don't want to face the truth.
No. Yep. Yeah. But right.
So that's why we stick our head in the sand. But when we do, it makes you only more vulnerable to him acting out behind you.
Okay.
Yeah. He's giving you some clues, and he's leaving a really messy trail, even though he thinks it's really slick. But even trying to make your kids think, oh, I'm taking her away because she, you know, trying to keep us from getting a divorce, he's already trying to keep his reputation intact. Yep. So if you do find out about what he's doing to betray you right now sexually, that it's going to make him look like the good guy instead of he's not being the good guy. And that is such a high level of deception. It's insidious.
Yeah.
So just what Jill said, and encouraging you and saying, what did that feel like? Right? And it's devastating.
And, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm 1,000 miles away from you, Jennifer, and I feel this tension internally because I've been that guy. You know, I was the guy lying, cheating, gaslighting, creating this fraudulent reality that made my wife feel crazy. And I feel this tension because on one hand, I feel pain and empathy for you, and knowing that, you know, as you said, it's devastating, and you start to see, you can already start to play out in your mind how everything starts to unravel, and what about the finances and the kids and the fill in the blank. On the other hand, I can also kind of touch base with being inside that crazy mind. And sometimes you start to believe your own lies. Sometimes you start to get so lost in that crazy fictitious world that you've made up that is so overwhelmed by shame that you don't even know which way is up when you're in the middle of it. The reason that I say that is not to excuse what he's doing, but to also help you see he needs help, that you need help. And in the middle of this, he's not the enemy and the villain. We don't even know if he's committed serial adultery. We have a hunch that he's committed at least one adultery, but we don't even know if it's serial adultery. But in the middle of this, like, there's this whole interwoven thing going on where he may not even know which way is up when he wakes up this morning.
And he's juggling the balls to keep the lies going,
totally,
right?
Totally, totally. So I'm saying that leading to two things. The first is, this is not broken beyond repair. There's a long-standing pattern. You didn't even say, I don't remember how long you guys have been together, but there's a long-standing pattern. This stuff has been going on for a long time. But this does not mean that this is irreparable. And so the step that you've got to take is to get in front of somebody who can help you be grounded in the truth, that can help you correct your thinking when you're starting to buy into the lies and you're feeling crazy. And then also be plugging in with somebody who can start to help unravel what has happened relationally. Meaning, somebody who can help start to sort through what is reality in terms of y'all's relationship versus the fictitious world of his acting out. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
So when Shelly and I started our process, this is more information than you wanted, but when Shelly and I started our process, one of the things the counselor did is I would say, well, you know, Shelly's controlling and she's nagging, and so I would do this. And the counselor would stop me in my tracks and go, Jason, it's not about her, it's about you. It's not her problem, it's yours. It's not her fault, it's yours. Yes, she's got issues. She knows that. We'll get to that. But we've got a deal in your stuff. And it's almost like he kept course correcting me to help me even see the reality of what I was dealing with. I had duped myself, if that makes sense. Right.
Okay.
So two steps I'm encouraging you to take. One is plug into a counselor for you. There are great counselors in the in the Dallas area. Plug into a counselor for you to help sort through this. Second thing is, and you want to volley to him on this, you can do a little bit of homework, a little bit of research to figure out where's the counselor, who's the counselor that can help deal with sexual integrity issues. But you also want to volley to him to take the step of researching that and starting to get help. What you're doing, in effect, is you're drawing a line in the sand. Sorry, I'm like going off on a tangent.
That's okay.
You guys can jump in and interrupt me. What you're doing is drawing a line in the sand that says, no more. I'm worth more than this. I deserve better than this. And the future can't go this way. You're drawing a line in the sand to say that. So you're volleying to him to take a step moving towards help.
Mm-hmm. Yes, can we send her worthy of her trust for her to see how she should be treated?
That'd be great. Worthy of her trust would give a real detailed outline of what you should expect from him.
And then she can pass it to her husband.
And then, you know what, Jennifer? I would love to have you come to our April Women in the Battle, because I want to help you wake up and take a look at what might be going on.
All right. We're going to a break. Stay with us.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
And we are back here. Jason and Sherry and Jill here answering your phone calls. We've been talking with Jennifer. And Jennifer, I just wanted to add a couple thoughts here in regards to you really starting to trust your voice, as we've been talking about. You have these gut feelings about things. And, you know, women, we can be very intuitive. And we get talked out of what we know is true. And so I want you to listen to yourself a little bit more. And in the face of this crazy making, your husband may be saying things, trying to throw you off balance. It's okay to say to him at times, you know, I hear your words, but something about it just doesn't sit right with me. Something about it doesn't feel right. I'm not sure what it is, but it just doesn't feel congruent. And just to leave it there, right? You don't have to know what it is. You don't have to spell it all out for him, because that's your experience. And really, he can't argue with your experience.
Said. He can try.
Well, he can try said. To, but you hold on to this is your experience. You know, I don't have it all figured out, but it's just not sitting right with me. At the same time, we want you to get some support. Sherry, you mentioned about going to the conference. That would be so good, getting into therapy. But also, I'm hearing that there aren't – well, I don't know, actually. You have concerns about your best friend. I'm hoping maybe you have some other friends or could start in with a support group. There are lots of support groups at churches, 12-step groups that could help you to start to explore things. There are groups for codependents of sex addicts that can be helpful as a way of, you know, starting until you can get to the conference. But we'll be praying for you.
Yeah. I would like to send her a copy of Shelley's book, Rescued, which is a workbook for wives. And, you know, for Jennifer, for you just to work through that, that would be ideal to do in a group setting. But just to work through that, just to give you some handholds as you're starting to take some steps and not be voiceless and not have your head in the sand anymore.
Great idea.
You know, I want to say something that just kind of pops in my head, which is sometimes scary what's going to come out. But I'm just thinking, you know, I'm remembering back. So, you know, it's been 13 years at our house since everything hit the fan. And I'm just thinking back to being in, you know, 15 years ago, being in that addiction. And there are these moments, you know, in, when it's still and quiet and you're only alone with your thoughts and the stuff that starts to bubble up, like the reality starts to percolate. And you start to come to terms with, very briefly, there are moments where you start to come to terms with, this is my life. Mm-hmm. This is who I've become. This is what I'm doing. And so I'm encouraging you, if you're a guy listening and you have those moments where the truth bubbles up and you kind of sit back and go, I can't believe this is my life. I can't believe this is what I'm struggling with. I can't believe this is what I've done to myself and my family. I want you to know there's help. I want you to know there's help. It is possible for things to change. I would love to see you come to one of the Everyman's Battle workshops and actually get an idea of what this is about, what's going on, and get a plan to stop, because it really can be different.
Right? You say that so well. It's because you've been there, right?
Yeah.
And that's the benefit of coming to one of our Everyman's Battle weekends. We have a show that I did with a gentleman by the name of Dan Drake. He also works in both realms, right, with sex addiction and with partners in as they recover. But we did a show, and can we hear a clip from that, Terry?
When I think about the sex adult industry, you know, unfortunately what we found is a lot of the women that are in that industry have their own background of sexual trauma. They have their own issues of abuse. And, you know, they enter into that world as a result of this. So, you know, perpetuating that as a male, you know, if I'm perpetuating that, I'm part of the system that says that women are to be, you know, valued based on what they look like, based on a collection of body parts. And to me, I think that's a huge travesty for our society. What would, you know, how would we feel differently if it were our daughter, if it were our wife, if it were our sister or friend that we were viewing? I think it's different, but yet we want to think these are, you know, nameless, faceless people or, you know, objects. And they're not. Mm.
You talked earlier, Jason, about how men lose mm-hmm. their way, whether it's men or women that are dealing with a sex addiction, but they delude mm-hmm. themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
lose touch with reality.
You lose touch with reality.
Yeah, it's easy to think that what I do alone by myself in my basement with a computer screen doesn't affect anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, every time we click, every picture we look at or video we download, every one of those perpetuates the trafficking of other humans. It perpetuates human trafficking. It perpetuates actually this, what Dan was just talking about, this ongoing objectification of women that really right. is saying, you know what, I'm going to strip you of your dignity.
Yeah.
It's not just stripping you of your clothes, it's stripping you of your dignity. We talk about it every man's battle. Sin is never solo. Sin is never solo. Somebody somewhere is always impacted. Somebody somewhere always is damaged by our sin. Even at the very least, it may not be that somebody is overtly harmed, but somebody somewhere is missing out on you. Mm-hmm. When you're acting out sexually, somebody somewhere is missing out on you. And that's a tragedy.
Yeah, right.
Sad. This is one of those things, you know, where I can get on these soapboxes, right? And so I get taken off and
no.
Yeah. This is one of those things where I, over and over again, we talk about at the workshop, like there is redemption. Redemption is possible. This is mm-hmm. one of those realities where we can take back ground that has been lost to Satan, take back ground that has been lost to sexual sin, and we can restore men, families, generations of legacy. All it takes is one step, one call to go get help.
It does. Instead of resigning yourself, right? Because they feel hopeless.
Yeah. Off that soapbox. Okay.
No, we need you.
Thank you.
We need you on.
All right. We're getting back to the calls. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to Amy, who is calling from Pittsburgh, listens on WRGN. Hi, Amy. You with us?
Yep.
Okay, good. What can we do for you today?
Hi. I called a couple years ago, and I went out and talked to Steve Otterburn, and he told me to go to Al-Anon, and I finally went after going to other counseling, and it's been very, very helpful. And I did go to A Healing is a Choice, and I've read a lot of your books. But my question is, you know, in Al-Anon, you're supposed to focus on yourself. And I really have a hard time still trusting my husband that he's not lying about anything. You know, and when it comes to alcohol, I'm supposed to kind of let that burden go. But there are other things that he does that would make me not trust him. And I know I can really only control myself and kind of suggest things to him. Like, he has looked, we have a subscription to TV New Life. So he finally, we've had it since last summer, I finally said, you know, you're always on your iPod. Could you at least, I'm the one working here, could you at least just look at a video? So he finally did that, you know, and he's been to a counselor and has a book on anger, and he'll read it here and there. But, you know, I know that he's not doing enough for himself, but that takes me back into that codependent circle that I have to let go of. So how do I trust him when my gut, like that, I could relate to that caller so much. I mean, I almost hung up because I'm like, you gave me all the answers there, a lot of them, okay? But I need to work on my trust. And it's not just in this area of my life. I grew up in an alcoholic family. My dad was a high-functioning alcoholic. Nobody will still admit he's an alcoholic to this day. So so my trust meter is, you know, it's always I question everything first before I trust you.
And just as a side note, is he using currently?
He is, yes, he drinks, yes.
Okay.
Yes, he's never attended. He's gone to AA meetings very sporadically. He grew up with an alcoholic mother that his father divorced when he was 14, and he went and lived with his father.
So in some ways, your husband's a high-functioning alcoholic, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a lot of similarities, but more rage in my husband, for sure.
Yeah.
Because of his mom, was a rageful, different kind of... I didn't know. So, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You guys would both do well at adult children of alcoholic groups.
Okay.
That might be another way. You know, for you to attend that or invite him and say, I'm going to try this. I heard they're really good. We both have this issue. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to come and go with me to check it out?
Okay.
A lot of times that will get to the stuff that's underneath it. That's, you know, because he's drowning himself in his alcohol, right? And he's got so many unresolved issues from his childhood. So if you can start to break through that barrier that he's put up, kind of through the side door, maybe you'll make some headway. And I think it's always okay to voice that you have concern and to own your own issues. You know, I have trust issues from childhood. Those are not all your fault. Sometimes I put them on you. Mm-hmm. But I do get concerned when I see this or I don't see this. And so I just needed to tell you that.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to trust you fully when you're drinking.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
That's honest.
That's honest, right?
Right.
We don't have
you're
to pretend
trying to
about
fix
that.
Him, mm-mm.
Right? You're just telling him the truth.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. We want to talk to you about our Intimacy Intensive for Marriages.
The Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 17th to the 19th.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together. We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy levels of their life.
One of the things that we're going to do in this weekend is address the issues of sexuality, emotional intimacy, physical touch, things that the church traditionally does not address. We're going to be a place where you can come and really bring the real you, your real marriage, and it can be a very safe place.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
You come join us. We would love to have you there. I think we can meet some needs for you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Jason Martinkus here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Keffer. We're on talking with Amy, talking about the reality of painful situation with her husband, with substance abuse and mistrust. I want to just say a couple of practical things, Amy, just in terms of where you are and what you're facing. And Jill was saying this a few minutes ago similarly. I think a good place to start is going it together. I mean, you've got so much common ground between you and y'all's experiences and dealing with this stuff. So actually inviting him into this process as a doing it together thing?
He doesn't think the mom thing has anything to do with anything else. Like, he thinks that it did not. And when I mean, she was scary. Like, he didn't want her in his life as an adult.
But he thinks the... But he recognizes that the alcohol is an issue, yes?
For his behaviors when he drinks, yes.
And he realizes that she had an alcohol issue, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, so you've got common ground. Just like Jill was saying, hey, let's go check out this new meeting. I called, I got some information. Let's go check out this new meeting and see if we can deal with some of our stuff together, right?
Or would you come with me? Would you come to support me?
Yeah,
in it, right?
I kind of like the idea of calling a duck there.
Well, yes.
Like,
but
we've got issues.
But he doesn't really want to go, it sounds like, right?
No. He doesn't want to go
anywhere. That's where inviting him to help support you.
Yeah, you kind of backdoor there a little bit.
Right. Sometimes that's a hook. And I think the honesty could be, you know, sweetheart, I know you don't want to hear this, but you have some similarities to your mother.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which could get that defensive response. But here's the other thing. I was starting with go it together. If he is unwilling to go it together, then now you have a responsibility to yourself to trust your gut, because what your gut's telling you is right. All right? You're not crazy, and you're not fabricating this stuff. Hey, this is real. You owe it to yourself to trust your gut and take that step on your own. And the question that you're starting to ask yourself is, and we talked about this on an earlier call, I'm going to have to wrench the machine. I'm going to have to upset the apple cart of the way this has been going, right? Which is going to require you to get strong and have strong people supporting you. Do you feel like you have that today?
I do. I feel like he turns into a huge child that is scary, and I worry. I try to shield my children from that huge child. So he breaks me down into kind of backing off.
So
do you tell him that you're scared? Do you tell him that this must have been what it was like for you when you were little?
I have never said that.
Mm-mm. I'm imagining right now that this is how you must have felt, because I'm terrified right now. And from all that you have told me, I'm thinking I'm getting to experience what you experienced as a child. And wow, it was awful.
This is painful.
Yeah. I have a new level of compassion for you and what you went through.
Well, like, if I say something, not that, I've never said that, but he will say, who do you think you are? Like if I would go back and very calm and lower my voice and mm-hmm. get where I think I'm saying something that's totally benign, I get that kind of react. And
you say I'm a woman that's afraid.
Okay.
I'm a woman that's afraid, and I'm a woman that's afraid when I see our kids afraid.
But if he turns into a 10-year-old at that point, he can't have empathy for that fear. Right? When he turns into a kid, he's going into self-preservation mode. He's going into, I know you are, but what am I?
I'm your wife who loves you. I'm afraid, but I'm also your wife who loves you and wants to help you.
So that compassion piece is key.
Mm-hmm. And I see the hurt little boy in you.
What do you think, whenever you hear them say that, what do you think, Amy?
Well, I can try that. I have resentment, which I work on personally.
So, of course.
That's exactly what my answer was. I'm your wife. I'm your wife. I didn't say all those other things. The less I say, the better. So that's what I tried to say. I'm your wife.
But that's still about a role. I get what they're both saying, and you can try both, right? Mm-hmm. Both right. And. Sometimes if you try one,
but
it's like,
okay,
and it doesn't work, then I'm afraid. And let him sit with that. Because he is out of touch with his own fear part. He's out of touch with how afraid he was. And so it might be an invitation for him to feel it. You don't have to fix it. Right? You just get honest about how it feels to be in his presence when he's out of control.
And when he's loud, he's out of control.
Yeah,
right?
Scary.
He's scared to death in that moment, too.
Totally. Yeah, you know, Amy, one thing that you need, and this is coming through as we're talking to you, is you need reassurance and the reminder that you're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're not crazy. You're what you're experiencing is real, and for you to find empowerment to try some of these things is important. So I'm taking you back to our previous question about your support. Do you have some women that are supporting you?
I have wonderful women that support me. I'm so lucky, but he connects with people from his childhood, which some of them, two of them specifically, are very sweet and wonderful people. Alcohol is not a problem with them. So when they go to get together, it's over alcohol. And I don't know how else to connect him to anybody else. Like, I like those people, but he has it in his head that is the only way you socialize with people.
Right.
And I mean, I just took myself out of the equation. I mean, he's going out with just them. Like that. But that's the only males, and now his father's gone, who was a fabulous person. But he's been gone for years, so he has no males in his life other than the people he works with.
Right.
That he connects with.
But again, you aren't able to fix his choices, but you don't lose power. I think sometimes in Al-Anon, there's this wrong message sent that you just let go, and almost like let go of a steering wheel of a car that's driving off a cliff. And I don't think that's really what it's about.
No.
It's like
that. I've resisted that.
Yeah. It's you still hold your power. You still hold your ability to say what isn't working for you. And it's really about boundaries. You might want to pick up a copy of the Boundaries book.
You have it.
Okay. And maybe reread that as well.
Okay.
So, Amy, I think
Mylan and Kay's book, too. I bought that on CD, and he listened to almost all of it.
Oh, good.
You know, it sounds like you are you're in this unfortunate reality of being backed into a corner. So many wives that we talk to that call in, backed into a corner of being the one that's finally going to have to demand things change. And not that I want to put pressure on you, because that's not what you need, but I do want to remind you of the perspective that at this point, you know, you're changing the course of generations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The decisions that you make to not let things go this way any longer.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. That's what I told him his dad did.
Okay.
I said, your dad had the strength to leave your mother in a time when that was frowned upon.
Okay. Wow. But I'm not talking about leaving him. I'm not talking about leaving him.
No, not me. No, I'm saying for his dad.
Yes.
Right. No, I'm not leaving him. I'm saying, you know, his dad's gone. And that was so strong. And I mean, it showed him that his mother's behavior wasn't acceptable.
Right.
So With that being said, we're just about out of time, just about to be at the end of the show, so we've got to let you go. And Amy, as you said that, like, you obviously know that reality. You're standing on the precipice of changing the course of generations. And like so many people that call, we urge you to go ahead and take that next step of faith and trust that God will see you through.
And we'll send you the book, Take Your Life Back, because it sounds like right where you are.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.